Okay, so today's class is called Master Our Habits, Master Our Lives. And the reason I really wanted to start off with this class is because I really, really love this class. It's really changed my way of thinking when I got exposed to this idea. Because many times growing up, I got fed the idea that if you want to grow as an individual, you want to become, let's say, you have a goal to be a happier person, which is our goal here as a Simcha Seminar, happiest people we can be. So what do you need to do? You need to learn, right? You need information. That's a lot of times what we're told in school. And other times people say, well, you need discipline, right? You need to be a discipline, and you need willpower. You know, and then people say, well, why aren't you waking up for shacharis? I used to ask my students, and they would say, well, I don't have willpower. It's like, some people got it, some people don't. What can I say? I wasn't born with that talent. So that's, you know, desire. And the truth is, of course, desire and willpower and discipline are tools that we need in order to be the best things that we can be, right? And that's for sure true. And if you listen to Tony Robbins shiur, the first thing he's going to tell you about is like, you need to really want it. You got to really look deep inside yourself and want. And that's true. It's 100% true. You do need to want. That desire is fundamental in order to change. And even right now, as we're starting this course, it's really important to know that nothing's going to happen unless you want it. We're never going to be able to change unless there's that desire. Because that desire will help create the motivation, which gives us that tool to... The goal of motivation is to... The whole point of motivation is to help us overcome things which are hard. Okay? So for sure that's true. But it's not enough. It's not enough. And in my opinion, it's not even the most important thing. The most important thing, in my opinion, is creating a system... And putting that system in place, and that system makes it easy to overcome our challenges. And even when our motivation is not super high, which happens all the time, to still achieve the goals that we want to achieve. Okay? It's like if you're trying to go uphill, right, then you need a lot of push, right? But if you're going downhill and it's pretty easy, if you're water, you're just going to trickle down. It's easy. Right? You don't have to do very much. So the goal that we're trying to do is we're trying to create systems to make it easy to grow in life. You with me? And if the systems are in place, then we won't need people screaming at us and the thing in our head screaming at us, and we won't need all these things. Okay? And the greatest tool, in my opinion, is habit. If we learn how to create good habits, we can master our lives, okay? And of course, I did not invent this idea. This is found many, many places throughout our Torah literature. So one source, if you guys look on the first page, is the Halakha Vilna Gaon. You guys, I don't know if everyone has a source sheet.
What does Gaon mean?
Gaon means genius. The genius from Vilna. He's a pretty smart guy to get that name, right? And we even have a picture of him. How do we know that that's how he looks? I have no idea. I don't know if it's a real picture, but it's on the internet. And I used to have this picture in my house, so it's pretty cool. I used to have to know. Go for it. Okay. So there's the Vilna Gaon on the bottom with the tefillin. And anybody want to read Hebrew, English? It's all good. What does the Vilna Gaon say about habits? Go for Daniel.
The Vilna Gaon says, change your habits and then all your ways will be set. Your habit rules over all of your actions.
Very good. Based on the pasuk in Mishlei, Pales Ma'agal Raglecha, which technically means like look over the course you take. But Raglecha is from a language of Hergel. Okay? It's a play on words. Resh Gimel Lamed, Regel Hergel. Hergel means habits. So what the Vilna Gaon is saying, based on Shlomo Melech and Mishle, is if you want to prosper in all your ways, of course, survey your course, but more than survey your course, build in habits, hergelim, and you will succeed in life. Okay? We good? The second rabbi who I found who said this, you can turn to the second page already, is Rav Shlomo Karlbach. So we're already bringing the Mashiach here by putting the Vilna Gaon and Rav Shlomo together. Amish, Gevalt. And I brought it down for you guys in English. Actually, I translated this book into English, so it was pretty easy. Lev HaShemayim, Rav Zivan. Shmuel, why don't you read for us? What did he say?
Beautiful friend, as I'm listening to the idolaters, rip through Raglechem, wash yourself away from your bad habits. If you want to start from scratch, you need to change your habits.
The vaults. So again, to fill you guys in on the...
Mamish,
that's... So to give you guys a little context, Rav Shlomo is brilliantly talking about when Avram Avinu washes the feet of the idol worshippers, right? Idolater is an idol worshipper. Well, there were a bunch of Arabs in the desert, and he says, "Wash your feet." So Rav Shlomo, Rashi, says, they were idolaters, and he was washing their feet because they used to worship idols. But Rav Shlomo has a different explanation, a related explanation. Rav Shlomo says, "Riksu raglechem, wash away your bad habits. Before you come into my house, you got to wash away your bad habits." And that's also, by the way, Rav Shlomo goes on to explain, that's the hergelim, the shalosh hergelim, sukkahs, pesach, shavuot, those are the times in life when we wash away our bad habits. That's also how he explains why we wash our hands, washing away bad habits, or wash your feet. I like doing that at my Shabbos meals, we wash our feet sometimes. But Rav Shlomo says the same thing. He's saying that if you want to start from scratch, you want to master your life, it's not good enough to just have an inspiring shiur. You need to break it down and think, what habits am I going to form so that I can practically change my life? Okay? Any questions so far? Yeah. Absolutely. Everything that we have is good and bad at the same time.
So to wash away the bad part of it, like one habit first.
Absolutely. And this is something that we'll all learn when we get married, Bezrat Hashem, right? That every good trait you have also is bad. Every bad trait is also good. Right? If you have a roommate, you also a little bit find this out. You know, you're a guy like me that things don't bother you. You make, everything's good. It's all good, you know? And it's great. It's good. It's a great way to live life. But it also means sometimes you lose things and you lose wallets and you lose credit. And like, you don't pay attention to all the little details as a plus sign and a bad sign. So absolutely. And when it comes to habits, that's what we're focusing on. We're taking the good parts and we're also looking at the bad habits that we've developed in life and trying to get rid of them. That's one side. And what we're going to focus more on is not necessarily to get rid of bad habits, but how to form new good habits. I think it's more fun and easier to focus on forming new little positive habits than it is to get rid of long-standing negative habits. They're both necessary, but we're going to focus on the practical level more on building positive habits.
Do you think it could be a more specifically than
exactly, exactly. We're going to talk more about the first thing you have to do is notice. Be aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then after that, we can start talking about the game plans, and that's what we're going to talk about how do we change things. If you don't even know that you're doing something off, then you're never going to change. Okay?
The thing that is, I was kind of saying before, is that, we call that a habit, is that, you know, is that where that word comes from, if they call that a habit?
Hergel?
It's like the nuns wear that thing and they call it a habit. Oh,
I have no idea. It's a great question. Okay, very good. Now, amazingly enough, now we're gonna step into the psychological realm. At similar time periods of the Vilna Gaon, this Torah was coming down to the secular world, and the Rebbe, who brought this out to the in the secular world, in the strongest way, was a guy named William James. Now, William James is actually one of the founders of psychology. He writes a lot of amazing books, great stuff. And he had a revelation. At a certain point, he realized that we are mere bundles of habits. That's everything that we do. If you look through our lives, it's all just different habits that we've developed. And maybe it's a bit of an exaggeration, but he's saying that so much of our lives is just bundles of habits. And according to a 2006 Duke University study, 40% of our actions, of most people, on average, are habits. They're not decisions. They're not things that we're deciding to do consciously. They're things that we just naturally do.
Right? Basically, we are programmed.
Exactly. We are programmed. Except the good news is we can reprogram ourselves. Yeah. And that's exactly what the Simcha Seminar is trying to do. Work on reprogramming ourselves to develop new habits. Okay? Which is, and we will talk more about this, which absolutely is proven can be done in a million different ways. And that's what we're trying to do. And as you guys look at the picture, John Dryden, he's a British philosopher. Now you know what he looks like, right? First we make our habits, and then our habits make us. Okay? So we all have these little habits, and then once we've been doing them, that's just who we are. That we become that person once we've changed ourselves into that habit. Okay?
Super successful, whatever, yeah. Did you say he just is so successful because he just has good habits, or does he just harder than everybody else?
I actually have read a lot about successful people, and of course it's both. Of course, there are some people that are born with a more optimistic demeanor, happier, more smart, more talented, for sure. But ultimately, what makes real people successful, especially in the game of happiness, which is the most important game of all, it comes a lot down to hard work and habits that we develop. It's both, but for sure, you look at the most successful people, a lot of them have wonderful habits. They start their day really early. They go for a run. They make sure they write for 3 hours. They you know, it builds on itself. And you know, that's absolutely true. Maybe over the course of the week, I'm going to continue to try to send you guys like videos to keep our motivation. And maybe I'll send you guys some about like some successful people.
I watched a video about he mentioned his family background. Actually, I think it's from South Africa, right? His grandfather is an adventurer, never stopped in one country, and his father is an engineer, very good engineer. I think he has good genes. His mother is really beautiful, like a model. But he mentioned like a reprogram, like something like reprogramming yourself. So I think it's a combination
of the two. For sure. Absolutely. A lot of times it's just thought habits. I mean, we're not only talking about action habits. Some people have that habit when something goes wrong in their life that they, you know, hit the bar and like snooze for 2 weeks. And other people have habits because they're so depressed. And other people have developed the habit, wow, that was really, really bad. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and get back up again. So all of life is about different habits in our brain and in our actions. Yeah. Okay. Just to make this real, so I gave you guys a few examples of common habits that happen in our lives, right? And let's see if you guys can come up with some more. So for example, you wake up in the morning as a Jew. What's the first habit that hopefully a good Jew has developed?
Modani.
Right? It's a habit which halacha and minhagim are teaching us to do. And that's, in my opinion, one of the beauties of halacha, is it gives us a framework. It pushes us around. It says, do this. Then it's up to us to actually do it with kavanah, to do it with intention. Right, to do it like a lion. But it tells us, wake up and say modani. Now it's our job to actually say modani like we mean it and to be a grateful person. Okay, good. Then what else do you do right after you wake up?
Wash your hands.
Okay, good. Another beautiful minhag. Say shema. Some people brush their teeth. Right? Right? Go to the bathroom.
I think it's also
2 push-ups. All right, there we go. Look at that. Some people do it for a run. What's another habit a lot of us have? You say thank you to the bus driver, to the cashier. You say asher yatzar if you go to the bathroom. Breakfast. Eating breakfast. What type of breakfast? Do you have, right? You have that coffee.
Getting dressed.
Right? So many. It's interesting as you look through your life this week to be conscious, to think about how many things we're doing, and it's just our habit. We don't even know why we do it. Just what we do. But it makes up a huge percentage of our life. Good. So now the question is, okay, we get it. Habits is our life. How do we form habits that stick? Okay? Because that's the goal of these shiurim. I really hope that we develop for the next 10 weeks habits that are going to stick at least for the next 10 weeks, and hopefully take this and go with the rest of our lives. At least some of these habits to take it with us for a very long time. So how do we do that? And that's what we're going to talk about now. Strategies that we can use so that we don't end up like the guy in the first page. And I think all of us recognize that guy. First day, he's super excited. 4:30 a.m. He's going to get up. He's going to run. He's awesome. He's excited. Day 14, okay. He's kind of slacking a little bit. He's still in bed. Day 21, 5 a.m. He's sleeping in. Right? Pretty late. No, not that late, but no, it happens. Right? And how many of us have been there? Right? Have been made a commitment. They want to change. They want to do something, and it stuck, or it didn't. Okay. So actually, before we go into the titles and the different strategies that we can use, what do you guys think? I want to hear. Have you ever had a new habit that you formed? And how, or a failure. Perhaps you tried and you failed. Like, what went wrong? Or maybe a bad habit that you got rid of, and how did you do that? So I'm sure what you guys suggest will be exactly what we end up talking about. It's all kind of logical. What do you guys think? Yeah.
I've done diets before, and one diet in particular that I've done is called the Whole30. And it's a 30-day clean eating cleanse. And I've done it a few times successfully and a few times unsuccessfully. And the difference between the two, the times when I was successful, was I paid money into it and created a competition behind it. Whether, you know, everyone paid in and, like, the winner would get something. And I'm personally, I'm motivated by competition. I'm sure a lot of you are as well. And
especially males.
That kind of kept it real and kept me going. And I tried to do it later on again without any other people, on my own, and it was a complete failure. It lasted like 3 days instead of the 30 days. So I decided to do it again, and I brought people in, and we all bought in at a certain amount, and we all had to hold each other accountable.
Mm. So the social aspect.
And it worked.
Awesome. You inspired me. I wanted to show you guys this. This is what I call a failure. It's my sticker chart. It's my Asher Yatzer sticker chart. The goal is that every time I say an Asher Yatzer with Kavana, I give myself a sticker. Okay, I'll tell you guys why the theory behind the sticker, but that's the goal. The problem is that my wife thinks this is silly and will not enter into this competition with me. And thus, it's kind of, as the days have gone by, I've been less and less motivated because life is busy and a lot of things to do. I'm not really competing against anyone, and it's less fun that way. So creating a competition with someone else, if anybody else wants to have a sticker competition, Ashley Yartzer would really be helpful for me. But anyways, thank you for letting me share that. Good. Okay, so great. So competition and social accountability is definitely... And buying in, right? Being invested is so important. Very good. Awesome. What else? Anyone else have a success or failure story? All or okay. Whoever wants. Okay.
So, I don't know. Someone in my class found that if I didn't do things straight away, it would slip my mind and then days later, I'd be like, oh yeah, I was going to do it, but I forgot. So now, I do, if something comes up to do, I do it straight away and then carry on with the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do it straight away, I know, like, I'll tell people, if they say to me, no, wait, you can do it later, I'll say, if I don't do it now, it's not going to get done.
Okay. So you've developed, you've learned a habit from your own realization of what works and what doesn't.
I also like to get things straight away and move on.
Okay. There's a whole, the four quadrants with Eisenhower of the things you have to take care of now. There's a whole chachma behind to-do lists and getting the things that you're just going to push to the bottom of the to-do list to do it right away.
It can also be problematic, though, because it could disrupt your workflow. So you're constantly being bombarded with things to do. You can't get your primary stuff done.
At the same time, if you give a busy person a job, it gets done.
True.
Okay.
So that's how I experience it for myself.
Okay.
More like that. Fine, there'll be other things that just...
So the things that are coming up are more imminent than the...
The things that come up, that I deal with it, get it out of the way, get rid of the people. Like, do the job, get rid of the people,
right.
Move on to the
Actually, I want to share an interesting study about that. I forgot exactly the name of the study, but there was a waiter. And these people are eating at this restaurant, and the waiter remembered exactly what all the details of their very particular order by heart. Didn't write it down. Perfect. The lemon, the this, that. Amazing. They walk out of the store, and the guy runs back, and he says, oh, I forgot my cell phone. Goes up to the waiter and says, oh, can I just come in? I forgot my cell phone. Or my phone. And the waiter's like, excuse me, who are you? And the guy's like, what do you mean? We were just talking about your phenomenal memory. And he's like, oh, no. See, as soon as... I only remember things until the end of the waiter. Until the end of that session. As soon as I'm done, I finish. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay? So when he's immersed in the action, it's he remembers. But as soon as he's done, he moves on. That's an extreme example, but... Why is that important? Because when we're doing 3 million things at the same time and we never complete any of them, we're in the middle of doing everything, it's still on our mind. And it's weighing on our mind. And it's making us a little bit less effective because we're still in the middle of 300 different projects. But if we just get one thing done and then move on to the next and then move on to the next thing, our mind can kind of be more focused.
Yeah, and so, then you also have a track record of what's been done, the success of to move on and
other things. Yeah. This is totally a side topic, and I'm mainly giving Musar to myself because I'm totally the guy with like 40 different things going on at the same time, all the time. Yeah.
My girlfriend's like that, it drives me crazy.
Sorry.
It's like, this, and I want to do that, and I want to, I'm like, can we focus on one thing, and we'll start it, and she'll be, like, but I also want to do this, I'm tired now, I'll be like, I'm just getting into it.
Thanks. Type. Good, it was a good. This is a good side topic, but let's get refocused. Okay. Anyone else? Let's do one more. Have a time when they succeeded, or you know, maybe failed, and what went wrong, what went right.
That was my failure. The girlfriend. It's like it is because I start something, I'm getting into it, and then I lose interest because she wasn't in it to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my failure. Like.
Okay, it's a good point. We lose interest in things, and we have to be aware of that. We're all, day one, we're all excited, but what we have to be thinking about is in 5 weeks from now, when I'm not motivated anymore, what's going to get me through? And again, I want to just point out, that's the genius of halacha. It's the beauty of halacha, because you know what? If you're genuinely buy into the halachic system, and you believe that Hashem really, really cares, if you come to Shacharis, and even if you don't feel like davening Shacharis one morning, but you know you have to. It doesn't matter. And you're committed to the system.
And you know we'll feel better afterwards.
Right. And because it doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong. And then once you're in the... And that's... Or marriage is another example. You're committed. It doesn't matter whether you... Once there's no commitment, then everything's flexible. Yeah, it's a nice idea today, but tomorrow something else excites me and I'm not in a good mood. And it dies. So again, I think that's one of the powers of religion, of halacha. It gives us that consistency to overcome. It gives us the anchor.
Well, I was going to say something. It could be either in dating or business. It's sort of like, with dating, you're kind of selling yourself. In business, you could be selling product or something. So every person and every product has pluses and minuses. So if you have the habit of like showing the weaknesses too soon, people aren't going to want to buy the product, whether it's you or like everybody has weaknesses. So I'm saying on some level that could be a bad habit of like either being too honest or not emphasizing your good points enough. Like say
okay. Fascinating. Okay.
I'm just looking at like some people seem to date very successfully or everyone wants to buy them. And other people.
And a lot of times it does have to do with good habits that they've inculcated into themselves.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what dating coaches do. They try to say, okay, let's run through a date. What does it look like? What do you talk about? And there is a system. There's a method to the madness, even in something like dating. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that in our dating communications thing. Not that I'm a master. I'm just, for sure, there's a system to everything. Very good. Okay. I just share a success and a failure story for myself. Lots of failure stories about habits I've tried to start and failed.
Do you have an extra copy?
Do we have an extra copy? Yes, I do. It's a gift to you, my friend. And there's pens also. Active learning. Let's talk about do you have another one? I think I'm done. Unfortunately, I didn't know exactly how many people were going to come today. I think that's it for today. Sorry, guys. Okay. Yeah. Give out. Awesome. Okay. So, at a certain point in my life, I decided I was going to cut out having sugar. Because I knew how bad, not like external sugar in food and drinks, how bad it is for you. And several times I tried this and failed. Similarly, at a certain point in my life, I decided I wanted to learn guitar. And I picked up the guitar, and after a few days, whatever, I stopped. And I felt what was lacking is I didn't create a system. It was all based on motivation. So I was motivated one day to stop having sugar, but the next day I had a bad day, and the iced coffee's right there, and it's all gone. There's no system. Okay, or similarly with the guitar, it was like, today I feel like strumming the guitar, and in a week I lose motivation, and it's painful, so how do I get over that hump? So those are some failure stories. On the other hand, at a certain point in my life, I created a system. The system was no sugar, no exceptions, except for Shabbos. Shabbos, I could have as much as I wanted. I could have Ben and Jerry's, whatever. But during the week, no exceptions. And because I created a clear system, even though it was also between me and someone else, someone was holding me accountable, it worked. And actually, interestingly, now I still keep the system for the most part. Now I sometimes can make exceptions because I feel like it won't completely ruin the flow if I once make an exception for a birthday, whatever. I know that tomorrow.
The tea has sugar, right?
What?
The day the tea has sugar.
No, the tea doesn't have any sugar. It's all natural. Yeah, you think? You could ask my wife. I didn't make that. I think it's all natural stuff, but because my wife usually makes pretty good. But I could be wrong. Yeah, tons of sugar in the watermelon too, but it's natural sugar. So for me, having a system, even if the system builds into it some flexibility, like the Shabbos, and now actually I don't even want to have sugar so much on Shabbos because like I've already like my body doesn't want to, poison itself. Although sometimes I break the rules. Another example is guitar. So I decided every single day I'm going to force myself, no matter what, to sit down and play for an hour. It was a summer that was my main goal. And after 3 months, I forced myself and I got the hang of playing a few chords. So there's another example is going to the mikvah. So at a certain point in my life, the truth is that I was going through a really hard time in life. And I spoke with my rabbi, and he suggested this idea, why don't you start going to the mikvah? And I said, sounds fun. So I started going to the mikvah every morning and davening nates for a while. And I'm still doing it. Every day before davening, I go to nates. I have the motivation. I know going to the mikvah is a nice idea brought down by the Hasidic masters. It's also a lot of fun. I go swimming. I can't say I go every day. Almost every day. It's a habit which now, even on days when I don't feel like going to the mikvah, even if I don't really want to go, I don't see the point of it, I'm not. This is what I do. I don't know why. This is, I'm a mikvah yid. You know, even though 2 years ago I wasn't a mikvah yid. But this is the new me. So I think in my own life that this can really happen. You can really transform yourself to become a different person, even on issues much more important than whether you go to the mikvah or not. You know. Okay, good. Very good. So how do we do that? Let's talk about strategies. Okay? Let's talk about strategies as to how...
The mikvah thing is interesting because I found that I was doing it. And then there was something that came up that I decided is more important to me. Like, going to the mikvah over here was always smelling very, like, of chlorine. Very, very strong. And I didn't like the smell anymore. Like, I was having breathing issues and stuff.
And you were going to the mikvah because you thought it was nice, but you didn't feel like you had to. Right? And that's a lot of the problem. That's why a lot of times habits die, when we just feel like it's nice, but it's not, it hasn't become us completely. Yeah. And the truth is, sometimes it takes a very long time in order for certain habits to become automated. And even then, even if you've been doing something for 5 years, you could suddenly stop. It's just, it's rare. But some habits take, you know, we're going to talk more, there's a lot of talk in the psychology of the world about how long it takes to create a habit. So, you know, for a long time people thought it was 21 days. And then there's this book that said the median is 65 days in different habits. But the truth is every habit is different. And some habits take about 8 months for most people, let's say, to start running every day until it becomes like a natural habit that you don't even struggle with it. And other habits are easy and it takes like 3 weeks, like to start drinking a glass of water every day.
What I'm doing now.
Very good. So that doesn't take that long because it's pretty easy. Yeah. But it may be that you hadn't done it consistently enough that your brain, you know, and you didn't have necessarily the motivation. So, you know.
The motivation dies,
exactly. And that's the problem. That motivation dies. So then how do we overcome that?
Also the values.
Okay. And then that's good. We want habits to change if our values change. That's natural. The question is, how do we develop habits when we really have those values and we want to do that, but we're not doing that? Because how often is that true in life? Our value is no cake, right? I'm sorry, and you're talking about food a lot because it's an easy example to use, but the reality is different. So how do we develop these habits for the values that we already have?
Uh-huh.
Okay? And you always feel great about it when you stick to your values, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard work.
They're pretty much the same in terms of creatures of habit, meaning...
Yeah. I don't think there's any difference between men and women in terms of us being creatures of habit. I think there are differences about what types of habits we create. You know? So, you know, a million different realms. Sometimes, I'm generalizing here, but sometimes in general, women may struggle with negative thoughts as a habit, sometimes more than men. And men may struggle with ego habits or carelessness habits more than women. Our brains are different. So everyone has to know, you know, what their struggles are. Okay. Yalla. Okay, so I want to talk about the three R's. Okay? The three R's is based on a book on the second page right now by Charles Duhigg. And not surprisingly, the name of the book is The Power of Habit. Okay? Why we do what we do in life and business, and definitely you should read it if it'll help. And the theory is like this. If we want to create a new habit in life, we need the three R's. The first is a reminder. We need something which is the trigger or the reminder, which is going to help us do something. The next is the routine, the thing that we actually do. And the third is the reward. Okay, if we have all of these three things, we will develop new habits. Okay, often these things are built in to the action itself. For example, let's go back to food. Okay, so I brought this as an example on the third page. I have a habit sometimes when I'm on my way to the hotel, I buy myself a Kofix, a coffee. I'm okay with this habit. This isn't a problem for me. But how did it start? I smell coffee. Okay, that's the trigger. I see the Kofix on my way down Ben Yehuda Street. Okay? Then I enter into the Kofix and I buy the coffee. That's the routine. And the third is, it isn't mentioned, but the reward. What's the reward? It tastes good. And it tastes good, helps you go to the bathroom, right? So the reward is built into the coffee. And that's why it's so easy to build habits, good or bad, when it comes to physical things. Because the reward is built in, and so our brain just wants to do that. Okay, the trick is to build habits on things that don't have built-in rewards, or the rewards are more ephemeral, more internal, and to make external rewards, sometimes stimuluses can help us tap into the internal rewards, okay? But that's the system. RRR, basically the trigger, the routine, and the reward.
So in the case of the coffee, like, you got a reward, in other words, You felt that it was a healthy thing to do, or you...
The reward is the taste. And going to the bathroom afterwards sometimes. Okay, that's the reward. It happens to align with my values. I don't have a problem with drinking coffee. It's relatively healthy as long as you don't overdo it. It's fine. So it goes with my values and it has a reward. So that's why the habit developed that very often when I'm passing Cofix, I will buy a coffee.
So it's also cheap. A neutral habit as opposed to...
I picked a neutral habit. Some of you might think it's a negative, positive. I'm just telling you that this is just a random habit of mine. Got it? Okay? Cool. Now. Yeah. And the smell is very, very... Yeah. Now,
with a little bit of sugar, it will be more rewarding, right?
All the more rewarding. Super, yeah. Sugar and coffee go together really well, but didn't go with my values. So I had to cut that out. Okay. We'll go back to the coffee example later. Okay. Now, one more point I want to bring up, which is, we already brought it up, keystone habits. Okay? At the end of the class, I'm already giving you guys warning. I'm going to ask you guys for your exercise, for the weekly exercise, to come up with a habit that you want to start practicing and be coached in this week. Now, if you want, I'm going to give you a source sheet of ideas. You could just pick a random habit. It doesn't really matter. It's more about the game of learning a new habit. But if you really want this to be transformative, think about a keystone habit. What's a keystone habit? So what Dewey explains is that's the habit, like Yoni was talking before, where it's a domino effect. It changes your whole day. Once you start doing this, all the rest of your day is different. Okay? So for example, for me, a keystone habit is running, okay? I love running, and especially I wake up in the morning and I go for a run. It gets my day going with so much positive energy. Then I feel good about myself. Then I daven better, and the mikvah was worth it. And then I feel more focused to learn. And it's just like one thing leads to the next, and I feel good. You know, we're going to talk more than exercise here. I feel happy, okay? And all just started with that hard choice I had to make in the morning when I was feeling groggy to start running, okay? Or for maybe to go to bed on time so that you're motivated to run, right? So a keystone habit is when you look through your day, what's one habit that's going to set a domino effect on everything else? Got that? Good? We're clear? Great. Okay. Awesome. So we're going to do a few more strategies to build positive habits. Okay, we've already touched upon a few. Let's give some more strategies that I've gathered for us to engage in this. Okay, Jim Lohr has a great book called The Power of Full Engagement on the bottom of page 3. And what he talks about, again, is don't focus so much on discipline or willpower. Instead, focus on rituals. Rituals that we do to create the habits. Rituals define very precise behaviors, performing them at very specific times, motivated by deeply held values. Okay, so we want to ask ourselves why. We want to dig deep into why we want to do that. And then what we're going to do is make a specific action at specific times. Okay, that's what I was bugging you about, Daniel, when you kept saying, I want to be a happy guy, or I want to be even more motivated, whatever. That's great. That's very cute. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to change. I want to be more nice. I want to be more religious. Very cute. That's not what we're talking. We want specific actions. It's done at very specific times, motivated by deeply held values. That's what's going to create lasting habits. Okay? And that's why we have the picture of the lady eating the cake, the donut. Right? Why is she eating the donut?
She's
in a bad mood, right? She had the value of not eating the cake, but apparently she didn't have the specific rule of, even when I'm in a bad mood, I'm not allowed to eat cake. And she didn't have an accountability partner who was going to coach her and scream at her if she ate that cake, and so she gave in. Again, if that's your value, Daniel, if that's your value and you built in when you're in a calm mood sitting on a beautiful day and you said, this rule should not apply on a bad day, fine, go for it. I have nothing against an exception. But the question is, when you were in a great mood and you were writing your values, you know, the day after Yom Kippur, what did you write to break to eat the cake in a bad mood, or did you not?
I did.
You understand?
It's like experience teaches us what's more likely.
Nachon.
Recalibrate.
Nachon. But experience should show us that when we're in a bad mood, that's the worst time to make a decision. Okay? And we're going to always make bad decisions. And so we need to anchor ourselves in things like habits when we're in good moods, when we're in great moods. Then we think clearly, and then need to create a system so that we don't get drawn into our bad. Again, eating is a silly example, or anger is another example. We know logically that we shouldn't get angry, but we get angry. And we act with anger. So we need to think of systems we can do. Like the story of the rabbi that would only, you know, put on his angry hat. And then by the time he put the hat on, he wasn't angry anymore. We need to create systems so that we don't give in to our desires or yetzer hara. To speak more yeshivishly. Okay? Good? Very good.
That's a good thing for the fast.
Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna pause now.